I did get a report on the way in to class here this morning from Lisa that that the crew that left to go down to Grenada yesterday has arrived safely, which includes Pastor Ray, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Josh, I think was, I'm not sure which he went down Thursday, I guess, but the teens, I know I had seen different things about the teens being down there the last couple of days and getting reports on their blitzing around to gather up people for Bible school this week. And Pastor Ray is preaching twice today. Pastor Aaron is preaching twice today. Pastor Josh is also preaching all at different places. So they're covering a good bit of the space there. And Pastor Norris apparently left instead of yesterday. He left this morning and maybe is in the air right now, I guess, on his way down there. And so all appears to be going well with that, and we trust that you'll be praying for those folks down there that are out there on our behalf obeying the commission. So very, very good. Wanted to say, oh, how many of you know if you had a map in front of you of the Caribbean, which, well, giving you, I'm narrowing things down for you. Do you know where Grenada is? Dan, you know it? It's really, so in the, I guess they call that an archipelago or something of all the Caribbean islands that go down like that, and it's really down right at the very bottom, very close to South America, just off the coast. So that helps you out to know just where our folks are. All right. Pastor Todd, we are ready for you. All right.
All right. Good morning. I think I'm here. like everything else, we're a little bit off kilter. Hopefully I won't be going very far unless some people have their way. They might sort of shove me off of here. But that's beside the point. It's good to be here with you this morning, and we just thank the Lord. But as always, on a morning when you have a lot to do, extra things show up to do. And I got a phone call with somebody who wants to come into the church, the Spanish church, next hour. And they said, well, can you come pick me up? And I said, yeah, I'll be there at 10:30. I think I lied to them. but I'm not sure. I wasn't in the auditorium, and I wasn't in here, so that's okay, isn't it? I'm not sure. I had to find somebody to go pick them up. And I couldn't find my wife. I've lost her. If you see her, please send her back. She might be escaping, but that's after 40 some odd years. It's about time. So we're excited. I'm excited to be here with you this morning, and we'll see how the Lord leads and what we have to say. We're going to be looking. It's more of a message than a Bible study. But it's, as always, the Word of God teaches us. And this morning, we want to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture, John chapter 11. And John chapter 11, and we want to look at verses 17 through 28. And I probably ought to put my glasses on to read, because I can't quite make out my paper. John 11, 17 through 28. And basically, I just read a couple verses, and then we'll get started, and just see how God leads us, and just what He wants to teach our hearts this morning. John 11, verses 17 through 28. Then, when Jesus came, He found that He had laid in the grave for 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, and to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give unto thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto her, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We're just going to stop there. Let's just pray and then see where God leads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love, your presence. Thank you for just who you are. We ask you to teach our hearts this morning. Help us to see what you have for us in this text. Guide us. Give me the words to say, the clarity to speak your truth to each of our hearts. Each of us need to see you in a clearer light today, Lord. Help us to understand what you have for us. Cause us to hear thy love and kindness this morning. Cause us to know thy will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I was reading this morning in Psalms 42, and it was very clear that God, he spoke, he says, cause, as David prayed, cause me to hear thy loving kindness this morning. Cause me to understand thy will. And a lot of times we forget that's what we need to be asking of God. So often in our prayers we're asking for one thing or another, and it's like, God, help me to see what you have for me today. And as we look at this, and really the focus of what I want to speak on this morning is, as Martha put it, that even now, we have an even now God. Our God is the true God, the one and only, almighty, I'm going to have to back up because even though my notes are in English, they're switching languages on me. He is almighty, all-knowing. He is sovereign. He is eternal. You never known that paper can just morph into different things. But that's just the way it happens for some of us. Even now, when there's troubles and there's battles and there's pain and struggles in our life, we have an even now God. And this is in each of us, in reality, are facing some type of even now situation. And this meaning, no matter the situation, no matter what the need is, no matter the enemy, God can. God can. He is well able for all things. God is able for all, in all, and through all. And as I this morning was thinking about it, I said, how best to apply that? Even now, in any situation that we face, God is sufficient. God is able. And a lot of times we think we can handle it when God says, no, I can. And I just stopped and thought about it this morning, even on the drive in. It came across to me. This morning, I'm using my chair that I use to speak in Spanish. And that's probably part of the problem. It's sort of pushing me the wrong direction. And I said, well, yeah, I can stand. I get around. You all see me running around. But to stand still, it's not really a comfortable thing. But you said, wow. But I got to stop and think back. And as a couple of the individuals in here, I'm not going to mention Don's name because he's old. I didn't mention your name, Lynn. No, okay. Or Diane back in the back. And those that are in the original Sunday school class and group. Back then, I felt I could do just about anything. If I could get my hands on it, it was movable. I can see farmers nodding their heads. Yeah, it was just like I could drop a cow with my hands. I could get their nose. You want to know the details? And you don't want to know the details how to do that. Yeah, I could take one down with my hands, no problem. I got to Bolivia, and I figured there's one thing I can do is I'm strong enough and I know enough about teaching them. I would actually picked up an I-beam that it took four Chimani Indians to lift. I could pick it up. But today, I can't even stand up for an extended period of time. I don't know if it was my bad or not, but it's like all of a sudden, it's like, well, even now, no matter if we have all the strength that we need or if we don't have none of the strength that we need, we have an even now God. In each situation, he's going to enable us to do what we need to do. He's going to cause us to see his love and kindness. He's going to cause us to see his mercy and to see his grace. And he's going to cause us to see the path that he wants each of us to be taking. We have an even now God. Amen. And that's where we have to stop and look at. And that's what I want to look at this morning. God is well able for all things, in all things, and through all things. There's nothing that you will face that God isn't adequate for. Even now, as Martha put it, even now. Yeah, and she was there, just buried her brother. And I just, you know, stop and think about that. Even now, I want to take a look at this a little bit further. Even now, God can give life where there is no life. And that's what Martha was saying. Even now, Martha had faith that God could give life to her brother, even though he was dead. Even now, even when her brother was dead for 4 days, she still had confidence in what God could do. And then in verse 20 of John, there, Martha got word that Jesus was coming. And what did she do? She went to meet him. When she realized he was near, she went to him. And that's really the first step when we have an even now God. Go to the one who has the answer. Go to the one that is able. And that's who we need to stop and consider. She knew what he could do. She knew where to go to get the answers for life's biggest questions. It just, hey, wait a minute, Jesus is coming. I'm going to go to him because he has the answer for this situation. What situation in our life God is not big enough for? Is lacking, that he isn't adequate to meet? None. And this is where Martha said, hey, he's got the answer. She knew where to go to find the answers. And where do we go when we're facing life's difficult situations? Where do we turn? Where do we run to? I got thinking on this, and I got thinking about the Es Echa that we worked with for all those years, and they had a order of where they went when they had a struggle. When a child became sick, the first thing they did is evaluate what they had eaten this week or in the last couple days. And say, hey, wait a minute, I ate a watermelon, and that's why my baby's sick, so I have to go pull up these watermelon plants. Or the worst, that was really a bad one, because that was Ben, it was his name, and he stole a watermelon from somebody else's field. This is a real story. I'm not making up any of these. You can ask my wife. She finally showed up for Sunday school class. She was actually printing my bulletin, I think, but I'm not sure, because I didn't know what I was doing. So, okay, where was I? Eating watermelon. We'll get out of this mess. We're not going to get out of this one. Some of us got in too deep, and it's over. So, the SA held, stole a watermelon on the way home, ate it, and then his child became sick. And after evaluation, he realized what he had to do. You have to pull up the watermelon plant. If you've ever been in a watermelon field, you don't know which plant that watermelon came from. I mean, if you think about it, all those vines. So the only thing you can do is pull them all up. And he stole it from somebody else's field. So he pulled up somebody else's watermelon plants that are ready for harvest, obviously, since he ate one. And threw all everything into the river to help his baby. That's where he went for the answer, was to do this. Or Paul, when he was coming home, ate a grapefruit, and then his child became sick. So he had to go find that grapefruit tree and chop it down. That is the only way. See, that's where the first place they went for an answer. The second place, they would ask their mothers and mother-in-laws. The ladies that are in this room today, as I look around, hopefully I don't offend anybody, those that are mature, not old, but mature, not young, like, you know, a new mother. No, those, the mothers and mother-in-laws of adult children were the ones who had absolute authority. So you went to them and asked what to do. You said, wow, it's a matriarch. No, it's it's the men run the society. They just do everything the woman tells them to do. That's sort of like our culture back here, isn't it? I sort of leaning that way. Ese Eja, I might have told you in the past, Ese Eja means, Ese means we, inclusive, Eja means men. So their name is We Men, but we always leave something to the women. But that's literally their name is We Men, but the mothers and mother-in-laws have authority. So you'd go to them to find what to do. That's who you go to for an answer. And if you can't come up with an answer and the child's still very sick or you're still having this problem, then you go to a witch doctor. And then they do different things and try to figure out how to get the evil spirit out of them. And then if that doesn't work, after the missionary showed up, you go to church. See, you got that list. You figure out what you ate wrong. You go to the moms. Then you go to the witch doctor. Oh, then you go to church, because that will help then. But and then Wednesday night prayer meeting. I remember I've physically heard the lady say, look around and say, hey, you need to pray because it's your child that's sick. Well, that sounds right. But it wasn't necessarily right because they were just doing a ritual, an act, not a communication with God. They should have been praying at home. But that's what they said. That's where you go. That's the next step. After witch doctor, you go to church and pray. And if that doesn't work, you go to the ultimate. You go to the missionary's house and have the missionary pray over your child. That will solve it all. And then you realize they're just following this list. They really don't know who God is. They don't have an even now God. And that's where we have to stop and look at. Who do we go to? How do we respond to a crisis, a battle, a sickness, a struggle, a difficulty? How do we respond? That's what we have to stop and think about. This is where Martha went to Jesus. She was the answer to her struggles. Jesus. Christ, who she knew could heal, who she knew could raise the dead even. You say, how's that? She's seen it. She's heard about it. And throughout the Gospels, there's different occasions where it's mentioned that Jesus raised somebody from the dead. And she's heard about that. He is the giver of life. And she knew who to go to. And that's what it came down to, that she knew where to go. You know, a lot of times we put limits on what we can do, on what we can't do. And God says there is no limits when we're trusting in Him. There is no boundary saying, oh, that's all the farther I can go. That's all the more I can do. And God says, no, I want to take you a step further. And then a step further. And that's who God is. And that's who Martha found out. She knew He was the giver of life. She heard about Him raising from the dead, but, you know, in reality, she's probably thinking more about, and as the text alludes to here in chapter 11, is that she was thinking about the final days. So, I know you're going to raise Him up at the final days. That means at the resurrection. She's pretty doctrinally solid on knowing what was going to happen in the future, but she sort of forgot one thing. He was with her at that moment. You know, do we know that Jesus is with us right now? This is the Christ is walking with us through every battle we're facing. And that's what comes down here. Even now, God can give life. And I need to mention this morning is He can give life spiritually to any. Even in this class this morning, there might be someone who has not received life eternal through Him. John 3:16 and 17 speak of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we have to stop and consider. He's a giver of life. Amen. And that's what we need to go. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what we had to stop and consider. He is well able. And anybody this morning who hasn't trusted him as their Lord and Savior, it's time to go meet him, to come and meet him, because he's the one that will give life, life eternal. And back into our message, what we're talking about here this morning, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is the giver of life, and he wants to give life to all people. There is no limit to whom he will give life to. He does not desire to destroy or send to hell, not a single person. We might come up with our list of people he said, this person deserves. Do they? Yeah, they do. And so do you. And so do I. All of us deserve a Christless eternity. But God, even now, God can give life to anyone. He desires to give it to all people. It's never too late. And that's what the thief on the cross would tell you. You're never too lost, ask Paul, who was a murderer. You're never too far, ask the Ethiopian in the desert of Gaza in Acts chapter 8, or Moses in the desert, far from Egypt. You're never too far from him, as Psalms 139, 7 through 9 speaks of. Even if we took the verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God is there. Even now, God. No matter how far or how distant we are from God, he is well able. He is all we need, and that's who we need to go to in our time, and that's what we need to stop. The uttermost parts of the sea, or in the jungles of around the world, or right here in Westminster, God is faithful. Even now, God can give life to whosoever, and that's what we need to stop and consider. Not because of good works, in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, he saved each of us. He's given us life. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of and remember as we go forward. And all around us, there's chaos. There's death. But there's life in him. And we can walk in that light and in that life. Even when earthquakes in Turkey or disasters are literally around the world, he is well able. Even now, not only can he give life and life eternal, but even now God can change a life. Even now God can give hope in a hopeless situation. Martha's brother was dead. There was no hope. He'd been buried for 4 days. It was done. It was over. But she heard possibly of the young maiden in Mark 5 that was raised from the dead. Or maybe she heard of the young man that was given life in Luke chapter 7. She knew she could trust in him no matter the circumstance. She knew no matter how bad the situation that Jesus the Christ was well able. She has seen miracles. She has heard stories. She's heard the disciples tell stories of what Jesus has done. She probably even heard from her brother how able he was. She believed that even now he was able. And that's what we have to stop and think about in our lives. Is there an even now situation? Like, I don't know what to do from here. And that's where we need to be persuaded that he is able. 2 Timothy 1:12, for that which... For that which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe and am persuaded. Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Are we persuaded that he is able? Or are there situations that are a little bit too rough for us? We don't know, we can't quite manage this. Yeah, we can't manage it. That's the problem. He can. He can. He is able, not us. Martha believed that Jesus could give her brother eternal life, but also life. That's where she was doubting, a little bit confused. Even now, God can give life. And I just want to make sure I stop on time this morning because, the class that comes in here after you, the guy gets all worked up, and I don't want to bother him. He starts speaking in tongues, and and this is where she believed that God, Jesus, could do something, and that's what, and even now, the Savior that we have. And that's what she said. Do you believe this? In verse 27, she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. Yes, I believe. Yeah, did she understand? No. But did she believe? Yes. Yeah. We don't have to understand all the details. We just have to believe. Even now, as we stop and think about it, God can give us a harvest of souls. Many of our church family are in Grenada at this time. We can believe. We know God desires to give a harvest of souls. And now we're just waiting to hear what he will do. It's not about we, it's about he. It's not about us and which of us can do this, because we can't. He can. And this is what we have to stop and think. The teacher, what is the first thing that Martha did? Upon declaring her faith, upon saying, I believe, and I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, when she finally understood and finally grasped the big picture, what is the very first thing that she did? Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister. She went and told her sister, her family. She went and told somebody, said, wait a minute, now I know. He's going to do something, and I don't understand exactly what he's going to do. I thought he's going to do something down the road, but it sounds like he's going to do something right away. So the first thing she did was went and tell somebody. Noah had an even now God when he built the ark. Even though he told people, this is what's going to happen, he preached the message, even now. Moses didn't believe God could use him, but he decided to trust him to do what God wanted to do. Moses could not, as he declared very clearly in Exodus chapter 3, I can't speak. But he had an even now God. And it's when you get to that point of saying, okay, I can't, but he can. That's when we can. And it's not just about one thing. It's about any part of our lives. Whether it's a natural disaster, a physical illness, a death in the family, it doesn't matter. He's even now. He will walk through it. Can we believe him for it? I can't, but he can. That's what we have to be convinced of. That's what Noah was convinced of. That's what Moses was convinced of. That's what God, Jesus, the Christ, was convincing Martha of. You can't. It's all done. I waited just till this would get to this situation so I could show you that I'm well able. Not that you can make it. Look at how strong she was. She made it all the way through. No, it's not about how strong we are. It's about how strong he is. because it's not no comparisons. And that's what we need to stop and think about. We are limited. God is not. We have, this is the only thing we can do. And you say, well, and when it comes to soul winning, the harvest of souls, I'm trying to think, I think it was about 1980, right here on Main Street in Westminster, I faced one of my greatest fears. I stood before a door and I prayed that it wouldn't open. I don't have to make up my stories. I mean, I can talk about a 24-foot anaconda if you want, and I can bring the skin in. But this is, I am saying, standing here in the middle on Main Street, Westminster, and Pastor Ralph Nevin says, you can talk, knock on this next door. And I said, no, you're doing just fine. I am a good second person. I can keep quiet. So I remember saying, and he knocked on one door, and then we went to the next, and then the door that he knocked on before, after he knocked on the second door, opened. So he ran back and says, you got this one. Fear came over me. I couldn't. He could. I can't. He can. As many of you know, and if you want a clear testimony, there's an individual sitting way over on that side of the room that would declare, when it comes to languages, it's not me. I can't barely speak English most of the time. I scared my wife this morning. That's probably why she wasn't here at the beginning. She didn't want to hear me read several verses. Because it's kind of a scary situation, fear and trembling. I took French in seventh grade, and after 2 weeks, I was asked to take shop class. They figured I could use these things better than I could use my tongue and learn a language. To learn another language was impossible. I'm still waiting to get an invitation to join the choir. But they haven't gone that far yet. I think some people lack faith. No. But when it comes to it, I should never have been able to learn another language according to my teachers. I can't. He can. When it came to learning the tribal language, they said, I was asked, can you learn this language? And I stopped and started calculating, and I figured out the math wasn't adding up. I'm really good in math, and it wasn't adding up that I was going to be able to learn a tribal language. Then all of a sudden, God says, I'm here. I have an even now God that says, even now, I'm going to cause you to see the way I have for you. And I told the individuals that were asking me if I could learn it, I said, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. It's God that brought me here. God's got to solve it because I can't. And we've seen God work that way. When we do outreaches, we see God do things in these days with the Spanish ministry. Last Sunday, we weren't in the room here after you guys because we're up at our house, and Tammy had to use her great faith, said, even now, God can work with 65 people coming to visit your house. And it's not a 65-person house, just in case you're thinking. The backyard, I prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it was supposed to rain last Sunday, and for whatever reason, it didn't rain. Even now, God, he undertook. And while inviting people to the event, we saw three people get saved. And then after we got to the event, we had 65 show up. My brother had asked me, he said, how many are going to come? And I said, 60, and 65 showed up. So, okay, I had no idea. Okay, if you ever ask me how many people come to the event, truly, I have no confirmations. All I know is I got one God who is well able, and they show up who's supposed to show up, and that's what happens. We invite, and we had 65, just like I told them. But it's God that does it. And then we had three people get saved at the service. You know, God working. and spending time together as a family, as a church family, as we did last week. Yeah, God is able. You know, even when we fail, we have an even now God. Peter failed several times, did he not? And his God was still able. He denied Christ three times, but his God did never denied him. That's who we have, is an even now God. Do we live like we have an even now God? Yeah, in each situation, and as I look around the room, all of us are facing some type of situation that was even now that we can say, we can declare, we can't, he can. Amen. We can't, he can. Even now, as 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I am persuaded, not because I'm able, but because he is able. I am persuaded that he is able to do above and beyond what we can ask or think. It doesn't matter our circumstance or situation. We have an even now God. Have we trusted in him? For one, our salvation. Have we trusted him to help us through the battles that come our way? Have we trusted him to undertake? As we look back on our journey as missionaries in our first term on the field, we buried two babies down in Bolivia. Even now, God could use this. And they'd say, well, couldn't God give them life? Yes. But what is as I've said multiple times, the greater miracle, a God giving life to a child or God causing a young couple, that we were young back then, to keep going when the world says it's done? What is the greater miracle? Which one has to have greater faith? Literally the same week our first child passed, there was a plane was taken hostage in Colombia, and another one of our missionaries was shot in the back with an arrow that came out his chest. The pilot was able to escape with the plane from the guerrillas in Colombia. The missionary, Steve Parker, who was shot in the back, is retired now in North Carolina after serving many, many years in Bolivia. So, and even now, God says, I have my purpose and way for you. It may not be the pleasantest, it might not be the smoothest, but yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I am with you, and even now, God, in every situation. Amen. We spent our first 10 years in the Esaja tribe, and you can count on one hand the number of decisions for Christ, the number of converts. And we felt a little bit like Noah. There weren't much going on, but we had an even now God, and we have an even now God today. Can we trust him no matter what we're facing or whatever he's asked us to do? Because he's asked each of us to do something that's outside of our comfort zone. I can easily tell you what some of mine were, and he's actually taken me beyond that. As I look at it, can we trust him to even reach the lost, to use us to reach out to those around us here in Westminster, in Carroll County, around the state, around the U.S.? Can we trust him to win just one more? And that's where we stop and have to stop and consider, whether it be in our homes or in our family, whether it be in our community, in our workplace. Can we trust him to see just one more get saved? Just one more to use us to touch somebody else's life. There's no greater privilege in all the world than to be able to touch another person's life and see their lives transformed into the image of Christ. And we had a part of it. Not that we did anything. We just were, I just had a part in it. We got to watch it happen. You know, we have an even now God who is well able for all circumstances and situations. Just one more. Let us reach just one more. As Desmond Doss, a medic in I believe it was World War II, he was in the Asian part, and so he possibly was, I'm trying to remember what military branch he was in, but he was a medic, did not carry a gun. But there came a time when they're under great attack. I'm trying to think of the name of the battle because I did not write it down. I actually have his story here. He was in the Navy, for those who wanted to know. But his job as medic was to help them recover and stuff. And the great, probably they said in the Asian theater, this probably the greatest battle, the most bloodshed. He was there involved, and they called for a retreat to pull back because the Japanese were advancing. And as I said, it was just pull back. And when they went to go to pull back, he said, "No, I can't because there's still men out there." And he went out, and they say, as he brought one person back, he would pray again, "Dear God, let me get just one more man." And he would go out again. And he proceeded to do that 75 times. "Lord, let me get just one more man." You know, and some of those 75 were Japanese. It was his enemies. In a lot of times, God's going to use us to see our enemies come to know the Lord Jesus. And he went out and reached 75 more. One of the more impactful stories in Bolivia that we faced. We had some visiting pastors down, and during the night I heard wailing over the river. Our house was right on the riverbank, right beside the cemetery, because no one else wanted to build the house near the cemetery, so they gave us that lovely piece of property. Because there's evil spirits in the cemetery. I wasn't really concerned about that. I really liked the view of the river anyway. But that one night, the view wasn't as sweet because I could hear the wailing from the upriver village that's about a kilometer away. The wailing came right down the river. And I knew that the next morning I had to go find out what was going on. And I went up there, and there was Awicha standing in the door of her house. Her father, Rafael, was squatted down. And then as I looked past her, I saw the body of a child. And I told our visitors to stand back because this is, you know, a very sensitive situation, obviously. And there was a 9 or 10-year-old boy laying there named Jamia. It was her son. And she was looking at me with eyes saying, "Can you give me an answer? Can you give me an answer?" And I just looked down, and I wanted to be able to tell her straight out. As I looked down at Jamia, I realized I could not place his face. We had Awanas, Bible Club, Sunday School. We had Awanas. We had almost 100 show up. But as I looked at Jamia, I could not place him. I could not say to her what she wanted me to say, that everything was okay. I went home and started going through our pictures. I have a big picture, and I didn't realize it till later this point that we had a picture of our whole group. And I went through our pictures, and I could not find his face in a single one of our Bible clubs. We had, our highest number was 99. I after that day, I only wanted one thing. I wanted 100, not 99. That was just one short. I don't know what I could tell Awicha or Grandfather Rafael, but we only reached 99. Just one more. That's the only thing we need, is just one more, and any of us can be used to reach one more. We have a God who is well able to use us beyond what we can imagine. We have a God, and even now God, that there is no situation impossible for him, and there's so many that are impossible for us. Even now, God is well able. God can use you in ways that you can never, ever imagine. You know, 44 years ago, there's not a chance I could be where I am today as a missionary serving many years and serving back here in the States. There's not a chance I could have imagined it. But I have an even now God. Do you? Can you trust him to do things that are beyond what you're able for? That's what it comes down to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for who you are. Help us to see you as Martha did. Help us to understand that you are well able. And even now, you can do great and mighty things. Help us to go tell someone that you are here. You are waiting for them. Waiting for each of us to draw closer to you. We commit all into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless. I think Pastor Ray should be back next week, maybe. We never know.